Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message from our visiting guest ministry will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Hello, good morning. There's a South African drummer on the drum kit and he was yeah. Can take the South African out of South Africa, but you can't take the South African out of a South African, I tell you. It is so good to be with you. Such a privilege, such an honor. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. Goodness gracious me, it has felt like a lifetime. How many of you were at the conference this weekend? Okay, wonderful. It's, for those of you that weren't able to make it, it has just been such a precious time. I don't say this lightly. I really feel like the Lord is untangling performance from the church. You can really feel it. The Lord is kind of untangling the pressure to perform. And there's this authentic, sweet aroma that is stirring in the hearts of believers. And it's sweet devotion to Jesus. It's like in all of the wildness that has been going on in the global church, the Lord is not wasting one tear. He's not wasting one moment of heartbreak. He is using it to untangle us from the snares that want to entrap us, want to keep us from coming alive in Him. And He is birthing a sweet devotion to one thing, and it's a devotion to Jesus. And that devotion to Jesus enables us to fall in love with Jesus, but then also to fall in love with each other. I've been in the church my whole life. I was baby Jesus at 3 months old. What parents leave their child in a manger on the stage at 3 months old? But mine did. And that was free. I got kicked by a donkey. I think I was 11 on Palm Sunday. It wasn't too bad, just nicked my wrist. But my mom was the worship pastor of the church, and she thought it'd be cool to bring a donkey in while we wave palm branches. So all the kids are waving stuff. But this rogue donkey lost it in the Methodist church, you know? He was probably freaked out with all the banners and the palms. And so I've seen a lot in the church, and I've seen a lot of ups, I've seen a lot of downs, I've seen a lot of real human beings, I've seen a lot of God, and yet there is nothing like the body of Christ. Jesus spoke to me recently and He said, Haley, I came for two things. It's simple, to reconcile people to God and reconcile people to each other. I came that you might know Me, and that you might become a body, you might become a family. And I feel like that's what God's doing. He's reminding us that it's really just about that. It's about a relationship with God and a community of believers who love one another. And I frequently gather people around my table, and I find the sweetness of God sitting in the midst of our laughing and our joking and the sourdough bread and the cups of tea. And I find that the Lord is reminding us as a church that we're not built to be autonomous, but we're built to be connected, sharing in the goodness and the beauty of God. And that's what happened in Acts, right? They got filled with the Spirit of God, who is love, and they began to love one another and share with each other. Yeah. We get to strip all the extra away, you know? We're not here to build big ministries or big momentum or big moments. God is big enough to do that for Himself. He will build us. He will build His church. And we just get to come and be a part of His goodness. And that's what I'm seeing happen. And today I am carrying a word for you. I don't believe I'm carrying a word to give to you. I feel like I'm carrying a word to describe where you are. I feel like I have a word that doesn't say this is where you need to be, or this is where you need to go, or this is what we need to do. I feel like more it's just this kind of pulling back the curtain and saying, this is where I believe the Australian church is. And it's an exciting place that the Australian church is at. It's a very exciting, it's the precipice of something magnificent. And really, I would tend to say, not even the precipice, you are leaning into the precipice. You've already kind of gone 50% and you're over the line now. And it is such an honor. I must tell you, it is an honor to be at NUMA. I know that Pastor Ruff so graciously honored me for the sacrifice of flying across the world. But the sacrifice is honestly embarrassing to talk about when I look at the beauty and the honor and the privilege it is to be here. The way God has moved in the conference, the way that the Lord is resting in this place, it is a dream as a minister of God to be in a place where people are devoted and in love with Jesus and saying, we want you, God, no matter what the cost. And obviously you guys have been through a challenging season. And in the beginning of that season, when I kind of heard what was going on, and I was deeply grieved because this is a family that I love. And not just because of the people, but because I knew God was doing something precious here and it needed to be protected. And it's such a gift to come. Like, it wasn't a question of moving things around if that's what needed to happen. For me, I felt like at all costs that God was doing something here that was not to be lost, but to be protected. And if I could in any way, in my little clay jar that I am, if God wanted to fill me with a word, with a message, with his heart that could bring encouragement and strength and hope to you, that it would be an honor and a joy. And I want to encourage you, sometimes when you are living in something, you cannot always realize how precious the moment you are in until it's gone. Momentum is a funny word to describe, but you do feel it when you lose it. Momentum is something that it's hard to say what it is, but it's definitely felt when it's lost. And it's such a joy to come into something and feel that in all of the pain and all of the question, that we haven't left what God has called us to, but we have remained. And I honor the leadership team of NUMA Church. I honor the families of NUMA Church who have chosen to be courageous and lean into love and relationship and lean into care and lean into the heart of God. I truly do. Yeah. There's some people I really love here. Let's pray. God, I'm so thankful we're not here to do church, but we get to be the church. Lord, I thank you that in the midst of question, you are present. Lord, I thank you in the place of rejoicing and victory. You are present in the place of the valley. You prepare a table to feast in front of the enemy. We get to say, watch us feast on God's goodness. Oh, thank you, God. You prepare a delicious feast in the presence of our enemies. Thank you, God. I thank you, Lord, that we are not in the valley, but we are ascending the mountain of God, the high place of worship. Lord, I thank you that you are doing a great work. And Holy Spirit, we invite you to come. We invite your presence to come. We invite the anointing of God to come. We thank you, Father, that it was spoken this morning that there will be a restoration of anointing. Lord, where people have maybe lost their glisten in this season, where grief has taken the glisten, God, that you will restore us, Lord, to a former glory, God, for you have declared, arise, shine, for your light, King Jesus, has come, and your glory, God, has risen in this place. Lord, you say to those who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy and eat, you who have no money, for today the bounty is free. Lord, I pray that today we will rise up on wings like eagles, that we would be lifted up. Lift up your head, O you gates, that the King of Glory may come in. Lord, we lift up our heads today. And for those that cannot lift their heads, Lord, I thank you that you become the lifter of the heads of the weary. Then you restore our soul. You are our good shepherd. You are the good shepherd. We are not a shepherd. We are sheep. Little sheep who only follow the first sheep in front of us. But you, God, are a good shepherd. You're not a dog that barks from behind, but you're a shepherd that leads. You lead us with your rod and your staff, and you bring comfort to us, God. Thank you, King Jesus. We love you, God. We welcome you. In your name we pray this. Amen. Amen. Thank you, worship team. I'll give you a little break. Can we say thank you to this worship team? We have made these guys work this weekend. Our session was supposed to end yesterday at 12 and it ended at 2. And Joel never got off the keys. In fact, there was one point where Joel got touched and he was still trying to play the keys, but eventually he just kind of crippled over and landed on the floor. There's more on the floor. There's more on the floor. I also just want to welcome some of our Bethel alumni, our BSSM students that are here. We had a whole section of them in the conference, and I'm so grateful for each of them and their yes to God. If you could see my notes, you would laugh. They're like, it's a heading and then three little points. So we'll see how we go. I frequently preach like this because this whole week, to be honest, Raph asked me when I arrived, so what are you feeling you're going to speak on this week? And I had no feeling because God hadn't given me that feeling yet, you know, and usually he gives it to me beforehand most of the time, about 80% of the time. And then there's sometimes where he just kind of like gives it all at once right before. He did neither of those. He kind of trickled it. It was like, it wasn't a light to my path. It was a lamp to my feet, you know, just one step in front of the other. And it's no different for this morning. I told the Lord to be really helpful if he could give me a clue of what I should share. Last night, not even like 2 days, just last night. I'm like, hey, it's, you know, 11 o'clock. Be really great. And he said I should go to bed. And so I, you know, in human nature, I had a trusty word that I was like I could lean on if I get up here with nothing to say. Ephesians 1 was going to be where I was heading. And then 5 minutes before Ali Cawthorn picked me up, the Lord just spoke. I'm going to try touch multiple passages today in the 36 minutes I have right now. And I want to bring to your attention a journey that the Lord has had you on and has you on and what he is doing, I believe, in the house of God in this season. And you can open your Bibles to start in Psalm 24. This is a well-quoted passage, but as I have discovered in my time on the planet is that even if I've read something 20 times, the Lord always has greater depth to reveal to me every time. Isn't it amazing that the Bible has been around? I mean, the Torah has been around for thousands of years, the New Testament birthed over 2,000 years ago, and the church still has had no need for any other book to lead them. Because with the book, the Word of God, the Logos Word of God, He has given His own Spirit, the Spirit of revelation, counsel, and might, and knowledge. And the Holy Spirit is the only author that shows up to read the book with us. And He comes to show us God's heart, meaning, and intent. And there's so much imagery in the Bible that we in our Western minds, or even story that God has so well thread through thousands of years. I can't tell you because I'm not a statistician, but I watched a guy that does statistics, work out the statistics of the prophecies and the declarations and the multiple authors of the Bible, the statistics of it being possible for all of it to have come to pass in order in the way that it did with multiple writers. And the statistics are so improbable that it's actually an impossibility. Like, yeah, you have more chance, I think, of being struck by lightning in the same place 8 times than you would of in the same place, 8 different times in your life than you would like being able to put the Bible in order the way that it has been ordered. Like, God has truly written and given us the blueprint to live our lives by. And this is what I just want to touch briefly. I think for me, the last 2 years since the Lord encountered me so powerfully, I have been so gripped by how holistic, how planned, how thought through the Word of God is, and how immeasurable the revelation is for us here. It is a daily food that couldn't just give you a satisfaction, but it could nourish us and it could overfeed you if you just spent some time every day in it. It is just that powerful. But Psalm 24 is written by David, and we know this. The earth is the Lord and all of its fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein, for He has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in His holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false and does not swear deceitfully, he will receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from God, his salvation. Such is the generation of those who seek Him, who seek the face of the God of Jacob, Selah. So lift up your head, O you gates, and be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord God, strong and mighty. The Lord God, mighty in battle. I want to pause here. Many times we believe God is the God of victory, but we forget that God is the God of battle as well. Many times in our walk with the Lord, we believe God is waiting at the finish line while we are fighting for Him to figure out if we can win the battle, but actually He is God in the hardest time. He is there, He is present, and He is mighty to save. He's not waiting for you at the finish line to figure it out, to overcome yourself, to overcome your challenges. He is present to you in the battle. And sometimes, like Moses, all you need to do is stand and watch as God fights for you today. Verse 9, so lift up your head, O you gates, lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? He is the Lord of hosts. Sometimes we just pass over that. I usually pass over that, actually, and it just jumped out at me. The Lord of hosts, that means that there's a heavenly army. It says in Hebrews 12, a joyful assembly and myriads upon myriads of angels in gathering. That means that He is the commander of the armies of the spirit realm. the realm of the spirit that governs the earth, that implicates us, where we feel fear. It's a spirit, you know, when we feel fear or anxiety or jealousy. He is the commander of the armies of the spirit, which means he is fighting our battle on our behalf. That no weapon formed against you can prosper. He is the King of glory. Now, what's interesting about this passage, obviously, it's a really exciting passage. Like, who may ascend the hill of the Lord? What is a hill? A hill is a high place of worship. The hills, the mountains, was where the people would gather, God's people, they would gather. Jerusalem, the temple, was built on a mountain. You see David trying to get the ark up this mountain, and he tries various ways. Why? Because they don't know how to get up the mountain. It's a really unsteady, rocky place. But the mountains, people would make treks up mountains to meet with God. They would move up to these places to connect. They would pull away from society, pull away from what they knew, pull away from the mundane and the familiar to meet with God. And this passage here, David's saying, who will come up? Who will meet with God face to face like Moses did on Sinai? Who will ascend? It will be those who have clean hands and a pure heart. But sometimes what we pass over is who seek his face, the God of Jacob. It could have been the God of Abraham. It could have been the God of Isaac. But they choose to use the name, the God of Jacob here. And this is what I want to talk about today as a Jacob generation. I want to talk about the generation that will ascend the hill of the Lord. And it will be a generation that God is defining as a generation of Jacob. Now, Jacob is an interesting man because Jacob is known as the supplanter. When he was birthed, he was a twin. His brother Esau was birthed first. He actually had the birthright. Jacob was clinging to the heel of Esau, trying to clamber his way to the top, but Esau came out first. And this was a mark of Jacob's life, constantly deceiving, lying in order to get to the top. And if you know the story of Jacob and Esau, Esau is a man that sold his birthright for a bowl of stew. Esau decided for momentary gain he was going to sell a spiritual eternal inheritance. How many times have we seen this happen in the church where people will give up an eternal promise for momentary gain? I'd rather pick my truth than the truth. I'd rather live by my emotions than by what actually is true and holy and right. And Jacob finds his way to the top. And the man that deceives, the man that lies to get to the top also is deceived and lied to many times. Jacob is the picture of unredeemed humanity. Jacob is this picture of us in our flesh when we try clamor, where we try through jealousy and discord and disunity fight our way, where we go into self-preservation instead of serving one another in love. Are you with me? I believe the world culture is here. It's in a self-serving, self-preservation culture of just take care of you because no one else is going to. It's a world of scarcity and lack where there won't be enough for everyone. But the message of Jesus is the word of repentance, not as we maybe see it through religious lenses, which is, you know, get on your face, which I totally agree with, and cry. But sometimes we've so spiritualized the word repentance, we've actually lost the actual meaning, which is turn around. Repentance is you're going in one way, but there is a better way to go. It's the recognition of the direction I'm going is the direction of the world. And Jesus comes onto the planet to say, turn around. Why? Because the kingdom is at hand. In the opposite direction to culture is a kingdom. In the opposite direction to the flow of what the world is saying, there is a kingdom. And in that kingdom, the scarcity you experience here, there is abundance in it. But the kingdom, the only way to get into this kingdom is through a very small and narrow door. It's the way of Jesus. It's It's the way of the cross. The cross of Calvary leads us into a great kingdom, but we first have to go lower and lower still in order to get through. You see, it's where you turn the other cheek when someone slaps you. It's when someone forces you to walk a mile. They're talking about a Roman soldier who is forcing an Israelite. The Romans are occupying the land of the Israelites. It's their land. It's like me coming in and starting to occupy Melbourne and start bossing you around and taxing you. Every turn you go, there's a Roman soldier there taxing you for the boat that you own, for the fish that you're getting in the ocean that God gave you. Now you're having to pay him because he's taken your stuff. And now not only that, he's pulling you out of your job and he's making you walk and carry his bags. And Jesus says, if he makes you walk a mile, walk too. Jesus saying, why? Because this direction, you walk 2 miles with that man and you're losing your life. But guess what? Those who lose their life, they gain it because here is abundance. You see, the life of Jacob was one of toil and challenge until he met God. If you want to open to Genesis 28. Are you guys doing all right? Oh, I feel the Lord. I get like an auctioneer when I feel the Lord, so I'm so sorry if I go fast. Ask my poor husband. It's when I feel the Lord and when I'm angry. My father taught me to be a good lawyer. He's a challenger by nature, so he never agreed with one thing I said in my whole life. My dad's always, do you mind opening this mirror? Thank you. My dad's always been a challenger, so my brain works at double speed because if I was going to win anything as a child, I had to work so hard. He's a good man, a righteous man of God. Okay, we're not going to look deeply into these passages. What I'd love to invite you to do, and I think a great practice after every Sunday actually, is to take a look deeper at the passages that are read. You know, I often, when I sit in church, not because I doubt, but because I want to let the word sink in for me, I'll sit with my iPad with Blue Letter Bible app. And if someone says the Greek word of this is this, I'll go into the passage, I'll click on the little number and I'll look at the interlinear concordance and I'll look at the Greek word. Or if I hear someone talk about the word of God, I'll go into the passage and look, is that logos or rhema? Is that a revelatory word? Or is that the written word? I like to know, what does it mean? Like, what were they actually saying here? And because we can't go deeply into these passages, my encouragement would be to actually go back and read them. Go read the whole chapter and see what it's like. Sometimes if someone takes an excerpt of 1 Corinthians 2, I'll just go read 1, 2, and 3 just to take a look at what is kind of the theme running through this, to deepen my knowledge of the passage and to kind of make it more robust so that when the enemy comes like a prowling lion to devour the seed that has been given to me, that there is reinforcement around me. 1 Corinthians 10 says that, and you will take to obedience, not to the obedience of your feet, but to the feet of Jesus. You will take the enemy that pushes against you and you will drag him to the obedience of Christ. And so when we know the word, we're able to not just fight with our encounter, but we can actually fight with the immovable word of God. Okay. So Genesis 28, verse 10, Jacob has a dream. So Jacob left Beersheba and he went towards Haran, and he came up to a certain place and stayed there that night. Because the sun had set, taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay down in the place to sleep. He dreamed, and behold, there was a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached the heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord and the God of Abraham, your father, the God of Isaac, the land on which you lie, I will give you and your offspring. Your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and the east, to the north and to the south. And your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Behold, I am with you, and I will keep you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? There is no one other than this is none other than the house of God and the gate of heaven. So early in the morning, Jacob took the stone that he had put under his head, set it up for a pillar, and poured oil on the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of the city was Luz at first. So Jacob is at Bethel. I think what is really amazing here, something that I believe is part of the word that the Lord has for the church. I've been hearing a lot about new wine. We hear this word about new wine for new wineskins. I've been carrying this word in my heart, new wine, fresh oil, but an old fire. I think something that's really important for us to remember is that God has been burning in his people for generations. That we're not asking God for a new flame. We're asking for him to ignite an old flame in new bodies. We're saying, Lord, the God that burnt in David, the God that burnt in Moses, the God that burnt on the altar in Leviticus, that same fire that was on Acts, was on Azusa. God, we want it burning in us today. And the Lord is making it clear here to Jacob, you are not just one man in one line, but you are of the line of Abraham. Genesis 12, a great blessing. Those who bless you, I will bless. This promise, this Eden blessing that Abraham received, God now speaks over the supplanter. He speaks over the crafty one, over this liar, over this man that has fought his way in order to get a blessing. God is now choosing to bless him. Are you with me? And in this place, Jacob pours out oil on the rock. And we're going to get to that. I want us to go to Genesis 32. I promise I will tie this together. So the first passage that we read of 28, Jacob is fleeing his home. He has just convinced his father, who is blind. He has put skins on his arms so that his father blesses him, thinking it's Esau. He has robbed his brother of his blessing, and he is fleeing his brother, who will kill him, so that he can have the blessing. He goes and he settles with his uncle Laban. Laban cheats him, he steals from him, and now Jacob is leaving Laban, but he is about to enter the land of Esau, his brother, whom he deceived. And so in Genesis 32, Jacob is another in-between season. And the Lord is leading Jacob to go to Esau. And what Jacob does is he sends all of his wives, all of his children, all of his belongings across the river. And he goes to camp. And we find out in Genesis 35 that he's actually camping at Bethel. He is in the same in-between season. Bethel is the place of decision. Bethel, the house of God, the gate of heaven, is for Jacob. It is a place of meeting with God. And in this place where God blessed him, now Jacob is in the face of dying. Jacob is in the face of his brother. He's about to face the consequences of his life. And he has now sent off his whole family. He has nothing that he has built with him. How many times do we get to that place where we know God has given us a promise? God has spoken something over us, but we are in threat of that promise coming to pass. And it's often in that place where everything is stripped away from us, where all that we have, all of our comfort, all of our belongings, all that we know, it all of a sudden becomes meaningless, and we just need God. And Jacob comes back to Bethel. And here he is by himself again in the wilderness. Now he's got wives, he's got children. Before he had nothing. Now he's got everything and he could lose it. And the God that prophesied over him, he is coming to meet with face to face. Oh, I think it's cooler than you think. Verse 22, the same night he rose, took his two wives, his two female servants, 11 children, and crossed the ford of Jabbok. And he took them and sent them across the stream and everything else he had. And when Jacob was left alone, a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. And then he said to him, "Let me go, for the day has broken." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men, and you have prevailed." And Jacob asked, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask me your name?" And there he blessed him. And so Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered." What we know from that place is Jacob goes into the land of Esau. And because the man who is actually God, Jacob wrestled with God in that place. I'm so sorry. Because he wrestled with God in that place, Esau embraced him. That Jacob was blessed. Why am I sharing this with you? You see, I believe the church has received a blessing from God. We received the Bethel blessing, the original blessing. When Jacob pours oil on the stone, it's a New Testament promise of the living stones who have the oil of the Spirit poured out over them that would become the house of God, the gate of heaven. In Genesis 28, Jacob pours oil on the rock and he says, "This is none other than the house of God, the gate of heaven." Jacob is prophesying a New Testament reality of a people of God who will have the oil of the Spirit poured out of them, and from that place will unlock the gateway to bring heaven to earth. And in that promise that he will be blessed of God, Jacob faces a trial, and he goes back to meet with the God that blessed him. And he says, "No, no, no. You said, and I'm coming back to meet with you face to face, because there is a declaration over my life that I am not willing to let go of." But here is the challenge. Those who wrestle with God walk out with a limp. And many times as leaders, as Christians, we want to show off the best part of ourselves. We want plastic fruit on the trees that never wither or die. We want this external look that looks good, but when you bite into it, it's empty and hollow. You see, we wanted to preserve something on the outside, and the Lord says, "Church, it's time to come and wrestle with me and show what's really on the inside." And the good news is that when I touch you, I will bless you, and the promise that I've spoken over you, it will come to pass. And from that place of those who wrestle, you will meet with me. You see, in order to walk into the promise of being a house of God and a gate of heaven, I have to be willing to wrestle with things. You see, many times we want glory to glory to be easy to easier. Culture says that if you're doing the right thing, good things will happen to you. Karma, you know, you do good, good things will happen. You do bad, bad things happen. Well, what happens when bad things happen to good people? What happens when hard things happen to good people? Then somehow they must have done something wrong. We start joining the seat of judgment. We start eating from the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that exposes men, instead of eating from the fruit of grace and mercy that we have received. And this is where I believe the church in Australia is, that you have entered into a wrestle with God. That the church, Numa Church, you have wrestled with God. You are here this Sunday morning because you chose to engage at the place where God gave you a promise. You chose to come back and visit the place of in between. You sent all that you know. You've sacrificed all that you have. You've said, "You know what? I don't know what the outcome will be, but I know one thing, God. You have given me a promise, and I poured oil on the rock, and I believe, God, that you have said that you will bless me. Not because I deserve it, but because you have called me." You have spoken revival over a nation. And sometimes, honestly, revival is dangled like a carrot and we get weary of it because revival is just another thing to get the horse to move forward. But I want to tell you, revival is not some offering that we get to chase after. Revival is something we get to receive. those who are willing to come back to the place of decision. I can show you all over the Bible when Elijah and Elisha, when they pass the mantle, Elijah takes Elisha from Gilgal, the place of corn and fruit, of satisfaction and comfort, and he takes him to Bethel, the place of decision. Elisha, in order to receive the mantle of Elijah, had to go a roundabout way in order to get to the land of miracles at the Jordan, because he had to pass through Bethel first. There is nothing in life, if you want to receive a mantle, if you want to receive a weighty garment, if you want to become a place that carries a gate that brings heaven to earth, the place of decision will stand in front of you. But it's in the place of decision we meet God. It's in the place of decision where the oil flows and stones come alive. What's a gate? If I've got a gate from my front yard to the backyard, it joins two worlds. See, God didn't just bring you here to restore you. He brought you here to restore you so that you would be restoration. You see, the life gripped by the Spirit of God is a life that carries the breakthrough of God. And this is what I think is being untangled in the church. Is that we're not just gathering to gather and to have a good moment. You know, even encounters, like I have a book about an encounter that changed my life. But if the encounter doesn't take root in me and become fruit for the world, then it's just a moment and not a movement. It's us choosing to come back, and you are in this place where you have chosen to return to the place of waiting, to the in-between that says, God, if you don't come, I don't know where I'll go. This church has been in a move of God. And when hard things happen, we start wondering if that's it. Is that the end? Is that it? Do we go back to what life was as normal? And what I'm seeing is a church that says, no, I'm returning to Bethel because I'm saying, God, you have promised. Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in that holy place? Those who have a clean hands and a pure heart and have chosen to wrestle and say, God, I will not move until you bless me. I believe that in this time, the Lord is pouring out his blessing on this body. The Lord is about to ignite you as a body in a way that you have not been ignited. And it's not unto a good moment. It's not unto a good feeling. It's not unto a good service. Listen, a good service isn't one that goes for 4 hours. A good service is one where God shows up and we yield, whether it's for an hour or 2 hours or 10 hours. We are saying, yes, Holy Spirit. The Lord told me, and I preached this yesterday at the conference, I have been preaching for the last 3 years from a word God gave me about the oil of God. But I believe that we are crossing the threshold from a season of preparation with oil to a season of being ignited by fire. I believe that the Lord is about to ignite people, and I believe that it is a new season. I told your leaders yesterday that the Lord is going to start using the prophetic to begin to declare over the body who they are in the spirit, not who they are in the flesh. That the Lord is going to start raising up generals in the army of God, and they may be generals in ministry, they may be generals in business, generals in politics, generals in their family. You might be a stay-at-home mom raising a generation of Jacobs who will know God. Maybe you're a minister that left the ministry. There's someone in this room. You're a minister. You left the ministry because of burnout and because of anxiety. And the Lord, I believe, is going to come and he's going to anoint you with fire. And the promises that you feel like were left behind, God is going to restore. If that is you, would you just wave your hand to me right now? I see a hand. Thank you, Holy Spirit. This is what the Lord is doing. I believe the question of the Australian church, I believe really of the global church, is this it? I really believe that the church right now is at this precipice. They're going, I don't want to do church to do church anymore. I don't want to do another conference if it's just going to be another conference. I want to meet with God. Joel, do you mind helping me? This isn't a word to tell you to get hungry, to work harder. I believe that getting hungry only makes us more aware of God's availability. Getting hungry doesn't convince God to come more. He has already given us the Spirit without measure. Woo. I don't know why, I feel feisty. But I don't feel feisty at you. I feel feisty with you. I feel feisty for you. I feel like there's something to be had. I feel like there's something for us to have. And listen, I know the first service you woke up early to get here. But if you wake up early to get here, you're hungry. There's a baby in the back that's hungry for God. Hallelujah. Joy is about to come back to the church. Not because joy is a good idea. Not because we need a laugh. But because God is going to meet with us. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. But it's that place where we have to remember God has given me a promise. God has given me a promise. The great Southland of the Holy Spirit. And when the world says politics is going this way and Melbourne's going that way, Jesus says, turn around. Turn around. There's a kingdom at hand. And the kingdom that is at hand is not going to be for some spiritual being to grab a hold of. It's going to be for human beings filled with God's Spirit to choose. Do you know that there is no way for God's glory to be revealed on the earth except through humans? Not because we're special, but because God made it that way. It was the design of the Father to reveal His heart, His nature, and His glory through us. There are times where I feel like I'm too small, I'm not good enough, I'm not articulate enough, I don't have what it takes. And then the Lord reminds me my smallness means nothing to His greatness. He's just looking for my availability. Numa Church, you have been at the floor, the threshing floor of wrestle, and it's time to receive a blessing. It's time to receive the blessing of the Lord and to ascend the hill, the mountain of praise, the mountain of His goodness, the mountain of meeting. And some of you, you'll meet Him in this room, and some of you will receive a seat in this room, and you will meet Him in your bedroom in the middle of the night, in a dream, in a vision. He will restore your soul. You'll wake up the next morning and the pain that you went to bed with will be gone because you said, Lord, here I am. I will stand in the gap. I will stand here before I cross the river, and I will face You and say, Lord, I will not move. And I'm not wanting to hold my dignity. You see, when you wrestle with God, you lose your dignity. We're losing our dignifiedness, our spiritual piety that sets us above. And the Lord's saying, you're not above, you're just full of mercy. And that same mercy you have received, now give as you have been given. Would you stand with me? Thank you. Are you guys doing okay? Okay. What I've come to realize is that most people are doing better than what they seem. You just seem quite quiet. Just not in the front yet. They're loud. This is the good news. Christ came. Not just so that you could be made right with God, but so that you could become walking resurrection power. Christ died, Christ rose, Christ ascended, and from his ascended place, he released his spirit, the oil of anointing, to make you a house of God, a gate of heaven, so that you can enter into that mountain of praise, so you can step into the freedom God has paid for, and you can release the chain-breaking anointing of God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. I believe that things are going to get unusually wild over the next few months, that the prophetic is going to start moving like a wildfire and that things are going to start breaking. And I believe the spirit of religion that has been torn down over these last few months is going to come to a finality, and we're going to see a mighty move of the river of God, the river of his mercy. For there is a river whose streams make glad the city of our God. There is a river that flows from the veins of Emmanuel that washes us clean. It cleanses us, it heals us, it restores us, and that river is designed to flow through the house of God, the gate of heaven. You see, I believe many of you are going to go back to your workplaces, and people are going to start getting healed, and people are going to start getting delivered, and people are going to start looking at you and saying, "Who do you know, God? I feel like I need to ask you, do you know God?" Because they're going to start hungering, because they're going to sense a river flowing through the church. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. So lift up your head, O you gates, and let the King of Glory come in. Some of you just need to lift up your head. Your head has been downcast. Why so downcast, oh my soul? Do you not know that the King of Glory lives and reigns? Lord, we lift up our heads right now. Lord, we welcome you, King of Glory. Holy Spirit, we welcome you to come and move. Holy Spirit, we welcome you to come. Lift up our eyes, that we might see you, Lord. We pray for eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts to perceive what you are doing. Lord, we pray that the sadness and the shackles of an old season would fall off your bride and we would enter in. God, we are coming back to the place of promise, and we are saying, pour out your spirit upon us, Lord, that we might be a house of God and a gate of heaven. Make us a generation of Jacob's, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Right now, where you are, if you've been in a place that you know you've been in a wrestling season, but you have not engaged in the wrestle, maybe you thought it wasn't God. Maybe you were afraid. Maybe it's been this, like, it's too much effort. I'm weary. I just want to invite you to come to the front right now. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I believe the Lord's about to put courage into people. He's about to put a holy courage into people. There's been a wrestle in your workplace. There's been a wrestle in your family. There's been a wrestle in your personal life, in your spiritual walk. You've had a wrestle in you, and it's been challenging, and you haven't known how to do it, and you've gone back to old comfort, maybe even. But the Lord is wanting to put courage inside of you today. He's wanting to put fresh hope inside of you today. He's wanting to pour out the river of his mercy. Thank you, God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. I break off smallness in the name of Jesus. I break off small thinking in the name of Jesus. I come against these glass ceilings of smallness that try to belittle you and keep you low and small and under, that say you couldn't fight if you tried, you're not strong enough, you're not able. I break the lie in the name of Jesus, and I declare within you is a lion of the tribe of Judah. Within you is a holy fire from heaven. Within you is the King of Glory, Yahweh, the breath of life, and his river flows within you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. if we could have the team, the Bethel team and the ministry team, just start moving through right now, start laying hands. We thank you, Holy Spirit. The Lord is breaking off depression. I can feel it around the head. There's been a depression and a darkness over your heart and your mind, this feeling of it's not worth it anymore. I keep hearing in the Spirit, it's just not worth it. It's not worth fighting for. It's just not worth pressing through. And I hear the Lord say, you don't have to fight today. Just stand and watch as I fight for you today. Stand and watch as I refresh you, as I restore you, as I come as a spirit of breakthrough. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Church, would you just extend your hands right now and just begin to pray in the Spirit? Thank you, Father. I keep having this feeling like we need moms and dads here. Like we need moms and dads to be praying for people. If you're a recognized mother and father in this church, if you know that you're a mom and a dad here, I just want to invite you just to come and lay hands and just to be a mother or a father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I feel right now in the Spirit to break off the lie that on the older generation that your time has passed and that this move of the Spirit is for a younger generation. There is such a need for fathering and mothering in this time, and it doesn't require great spiritual knowledge. It requires love for people, care for people, a love and a genuine desire to believe for their future over what the enemy says. And I break off right now over any, I especially feel over fathers right now who feel like they aren't spiritually qualified. And I just feel like the Lord says over you, you are qualified because of your heart. Lord, I pray right now for an infusion of the Father's heart over moms and dads today who have felt like they're called to hang in the back because they don't have what it takes, Lord. We pray, Lord, for a release of the spirit of adoption in their lives, that they would start being propelled towards young people to pour into them. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Just keep receiving. Yeah, sir, you've got your hands crossed on your chest. Just right over here. I just see the Lord. Yes, you. I just see the Lord resting on you. He is calling you to a generation. He is calling you out. He is calling you out as a leader. And he who has redeemed you, he has pulled you up from the miry clay. He is about to put a word in your mouth, a word of freedom, a word of righteousness, and a word of hope. And you're going to touch a generation with that word. There's an evangelistic call on your life to reach the lost. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the oil of anointing, the fire of God, a house of God, a gate of heaven. The Lord is restoring the fortunes like the Negev. I just see the Lord is restoring the fortunes, the things that were stolen by the enemy. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Could I grab my Bible? It's thank you, Father. Come, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. Where you're standing right now, I just want to invite you to receive. Just begin to believe for the blessing of God. God, we release the blessing of God. The blessing. There's a couple here. You have been in a battle over your daughter, your daughter's life. There's incredible pain that has come with that. The Lord is bringing healing to your heart, and He's bringing grace. He's bringing grace to that circumstance. If that is you, just raise your hands up. You're above your, just raise it, just receive right now, Lord. I thank you, God. We call her home, Lord. We call that young woman. We call her back, Lord. We call her out of darkness into light. We call her back into relationship with this family, God. We call her into the love of God. come, Holy Spirit, come. There are people in this room, you feel like there's a glass ceiling above your head. Like you desperately want breakthrough, but you just are struggling to receive that breakthrough. I just want you to raise both hands up high. Thank you, Father. We just release a spirit of breakthrough. If you're around those people, would you just lay your hands on them? Put your hands on their back. And I want you to declare a spirit of breakthrough. A spirit of breakthrough, not by might nor by power, but by the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. A spirit of breakthrough. Thank you, Lord. We release a spirit of breakthrough. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Come, Holy Spirit. I want to read this passage. I know that we need to close. Come, Holy Spirit. This is what I prophesy over you. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, they were like those who dreamed, and their mouths were filled with laughter, and our tongues with shouts of joy. And then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the streams in the Negev. For those who sow in tears will reap with shouts of joy. And he who goes out weeping and bearing seed for sowing shall come home with shouts of joy, bringing his sheaves with him. I want you just to lay your hands on the people beside you right now. And I want to declare this. It's time to cross the river. We have been in the valley. We have been in the valley of wrestle, and we have stayed the course. We have been in the valley of wrestle, and we have said, Lord, we will meet you face to face. And we have received the blessing of the Lord. We have received the word of God. And though we walk out with a limp, we walk out knowing we were touched. We were touched and we received. And the Lord is about to meet us with great blessing. And so we declare, when the Lord brought back the captives from Zion, we were like those who dreamed. I want you to begin to pray the dreams of God over the people beside you. The dreams of the Lord. You will begin to dream dreams. Young men will dream dreams. Old men dream dreams. We will see visions, Lord. Pour out your spirit, God. We declare dreams awake. Dreams come alive. Dreams fresh breath. Oh, we put off our heaviness and we receive garments of praise, Lord. Courage for the wrestle, God. And then our mouths were filled with laughter and our tongues with shouts of joy. And they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things. I want you to declare right now, the Lord will do great things. The Lord has done great things. The Lord will do. I want you to release the blessing of God over the people beside you. Great things, great things. The joyful expectation of good, great things. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Now say this with me together. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the streams in the Negev. Say, restore our fortunes, O God. Say, you are restoring our fortunes, O God. Say, you have restored our fortunes, oh God. For those who sow in tears will reap with shouts of joy. God, we release a shout of joy today. We enter into a new season, Lord. Oh, I'm gonna be funny, but I feel it. I want you to gather up your sheaves of wheat, for you sowed in tears. But they said you'll be gathering sheaves. I want you to gather them up. Oh, don't think I'm crazy. Come on, some of you in the back there, join me. Gather it up. It's good for us. It's good for a little laugh. It's good for us to partner with what God is doing. It's just called faith. The act doesn't do much, but it makes us attach faith. And now hold your sheaves. Ooh. Say, I'm coming with sheaves of wheat. I'm coming packing. I'm coming packing. I'm coming full of bounty, full of blessing. Australia, you better watch out, because the church is armed with fruit. Australia, you better watch out, because the church is armed with abundance. Australia, you better watch out, because the church is armed with the goodness of God and the faithfulness of the King of Glory. Australia, you better watch out, because the church is carrying the beauty and the fire of the Holy Spirit. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. Let's just end by worshiping the Lord. We lift you up, Jesus. I got one more thing to say. I feel it's the word of the Lord. The mark of fruitfulness will be barren wombs being opened. There are people in this room, people in this church that have tried for children. Doctors have told you it's impossible. Some of you, you haven't gone to the doctor, you're too nervous. And the Lord is saying that I will mark this era with barren wombs being opened. If you as a couple are struggling right now, just place your hands on your bellies right now. If you want prayer, you can. I know it's quite a personal thing. You can just tell the people, you can put up your hand if you want someone to lay hands on you. You can stand in proxy for your daughter or your son if you want. Father, right now, I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord, fruitfulness. Fruitfulness is your promise, Lord. Fruitfulness, Lord, we thank you, Lord. We say babies, 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 Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you. My friend was told she would never have children. She was never gonna be able to have babies, and I was pregnant. And I just put my belly on hers and I went, babies, babies, babies. Jesus loves babies. And she had a little girl and then twins after that. So Lord, I thank you, Father. We just declare the fruitfulness of the Lord. Thank you for the joy of the Lord, even in this prayer, God. No weight, no pressure. Just the joy of communion and receiving from you in Jesus' name. Let's just sing that one more time.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death, and a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.